Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Well, as the Geico insurance commercials suggest to us this morning, everybody knows that Palm Sunday is high drama, the Sunday of stark realities and ironies, marked by anticipation, expectation, conflict, with gathering clouds of threat, storms of ominous foreboding, brooding suspicion, intrigue, betrayal, attack, even paranoia, as Jesus enters the holy city of Jerusalem. But without saying a word, we hear him embodying the strident, strong, confident voice of the servant in Isaiah's third servant song, chapter 50, we heard today together. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame, for he who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? So I ask you this Palm Sunday to put this strong affirmation alongside other narratives that emphasize only the sufferings and cruelty Jesus endured as the victim of circumstances he fell into. Frankly, I am tired of portraying Jesus as some kind of worm, lure, or bait impaled on a fishing hook to entice and defeat the devil at his own game. We often wonder about the events of Holy Week and Palm Sunday in particular. Jesus seems to be front and center, the central character. But either he is fully in charge of all that is taking place, or he is a lunatic, hell-bent on self-destruction, as C.S. Lewis suggested in his classic work, The Joyful Christian. Either Jesus was fully cognizant of the course he had to take in order to realize God's ultimate plan of redemption, being the agent and coordinator of events, or he was a megalomaniac, to use Lewis's term. A very curious incident occurred showing how Jesus was fully in charge and not out of control. It is captured in chapter 21 of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. I ask you, what madman could ever have orchestrated such details to fulfill ancient prophecy about himself? Here we see the representation of the great prophet Zephaniah, humble and riding on just such an animal, coming to the city to confront the king so very long ago. So this is a strong and decisive messianic claim by Jesus. He knew exactly what he was doing at each and every moment, not someone deranged, someone who is simply a victim. But the instant culture you and I live in, having everything right at hand, our smartphones at the ready, through television exposés, the media's graphic presentation of accidents, tragedies, mayhem, potentially undermines Holy Week's message that God is working out his purpose through the cross. There is such temptation to succumb these days to voyeurism during these crucial events of Holy Week, much like the rubbernecking that goes on at a car wreck or a house fire we pass by. Consider the extremely graphic movie made by Mel Gibson a few years ago, which presented every gory detail of Jesus' torture and painful death. Here we were inundated, overwhelmed with horror and disgust. This captivation of our senses, such raw feelings, desensitizes us to the real meaning of the crucifixion and Holy Week. It seems so easy to be lured into the sideshows of Christianity while we miss the action in the main tent. Our eyes and ears seem to be riveted to the news headlines. We are distracted, mortified by the events we see, horrifying as the scene really is, as bus tragedies take place, school shootings, acts of terror twice at Fort Hood, or last year at the Boston Marathon, or the trial going on in South Africa. We feed on the gruesome details and the violence. Nothing can be so shocking so as arresting us not to experience it full hand. We can't help but being obsessed with the need to become excited, tantalized with the grit and the dirt, the anguish and the tragedy of such situations, as grievous as they are. And again, such a deep-seated need in people diminishes the human spirit, and this tendency dilutes and diminishes Holy Week, deflecting its true meaning and its divine purpose. As an English poet of the last century said, "Poor human race that must feed on pain or choose another dish and hunger worse." There is a lot of talk these days about victimization. The media seems more and more willing to portray Jesus as the victim of human nature gone wild. And this threatens to undermine the plan of redemption affirmed in Holy Scripture. If we tend to see only Christ's suffering as the major theme of the Passion, then we risk losing the message of the cross, its true function, to break the back of sin, to put away the power of death, to bring freedom to the prisoner, liberation to the captive. Why then do we call this week holy, when everything that happened seems to be so unholy, so corrupted with the worst of human suspicion and cruelty? Why do we remember this time each year when everything is in bloom, when God seems to be with us, and we take everything that is good and we just throw it away and nail it upon a tree to die? Holy Week became holy not because of the victimization or abuse of Jesus Christ, or by sorrow or guilt or remorse, not by defeat, not by Jesus' weakness, but by his strength. Holy Week became holy because of Christ's triumphant work on our behalf for all time. Good Friday became good, not because of what Jesus suffered, but by what Jesus accomplished, as he said near his death on the cross, "It is finished, it is accomplished." So let us not lose ourselves this week in the victimization of Jesus, in the depravity of human nature at its worst, but rather to focus on the power of the cross, the power of Jesus to bring divine love into our story. In conclusion, one of my personal heroes as a Christian preacher and teacher, John Claypool, I think came from the South, said it best in conclusion. "The killing of Jesus had many motives behind it, but only one purpose, and that was to defeat God. All the darkness of evil converged on that spot to do him in, but what resulted? Jesus survived. 3 days later, he was back on earth as resurrected Lord. What is more, the cross itself became the instrument of God and no longer the instrument of shame. And so we learn from this that evil cannot overcome God. He has overcome it through what Jesus accomplished. And so, Lord, we glory in your cross. For by virtue of your cross and holy resurrection, joy has come into this world. Amen."
Amen.